Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to find, if you would, find your place there. And then also find the book of Proverbs, just anywhere in Proverbs, and stick a marker in there because we're going to be back and forth between those two places tonight. We're going to be looking at a number of different verses in that section. Now, if you remember this morning, we were looking at the pattern of discipline. And of course, the pattern of discipline, we saw that the pattern was the Lord. We saw the exhortation, and we saw the explanation for discipline, and we also saw the example of discipline, and that's where we stopped. And we'd looked at one point or one aspect of the example of discipline, and that one point was, I said it was parental. And then we looked at a number of things about the parental idea, how it must be an agreement, different things. I won't go back through those. Tonight I want to pick up and look at the second aspect of that example and then sort of proceed a little further in that. And I want to pick up reading at verse number 9 in chapter 12 of Hebrews and read down through verse number 11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasures, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, one thing for sure, this passage of Scripture that we just read, as much as I am directing this toward parents, this passage, of course, could be directed toward the children, right? But, of course, I'm going to keep my emphasis of looking at the parents and parenting and how parents should parent. But at the same time, let's not lose the truth, again, that we're all children of God if we know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we have, a responsibility to respond to Him in the proper way. But the thing that I want to look at tonight, not only is the example of discipline, and I pointed out this morning that discipline here in this section was clearly showing that discipline is spiritual and not just a physical undertaking. And we saw that it was parental from the standpoint that we have a Heavenly Father to pattern ourselves after. But this passage of Scripture also shows us that it's not only parental, but that it has a purpose. You know, some parents, I think, just simply discipline to get their anger appeased. I have seen many parents do things where it just simply see all they wanted to do is get rid of their anger, and the only way they could get rid of their anger is take it out on their children. That's ungodliness is what that is. It has nothing to do with a spiritual undertaking. That's totally physical when parents do that. But there is clearly in this passage of Scripture here and a number of other places that we'll look at here that points out that discipline has a purpose. The first thing I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to go all the way back to verse number 5 to pick up this aspect of this point. What is the purpose of discipline? As a parent, what are your thoughts about the purpose? Is it simply to, you know, quote, as I've heard many fathers say, I'm going to knock some sense into you? I've heard many parents say that one statement, I'm going to knock some sense into him. Is that the purpose? If it is, I guarantee you're going to be a miserable failure at it. In verse number 5, I see the first and what I consider the most important purpose of discipline. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6 now, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The first purpose of chastisement or discipline is that the promised love may be fulfilled. Every single child needs to realize, needs to know that they're loved, and they need to see that fulfilled in the way they're disciplined. Most kids that I know, if they have failed to see the love of their parents in their discipline, most of the time they rebel against the discipline. I was no different growing up. And I don't think many of you in this room are any different from that statement. If you didn't see the love, if you didn't see your parents discipline you and try to form you into what you should be because they love you, instead of they just wanting to be, you know, appease their anger or knock some sense into you or something, usually it brings about rebellion. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now, that doesn't mean he's going to chasten him many times. That's what many people think the word betimes mean. It does not mean that whatsoever. Just because you jerk your kid up and wear him out doesn't mean you love him. Now, that word betimes literally means early or diligently. In other words, you do it early and you do it consistently. In other words, when you do it, you do it the right way. And the right way shows the child that love is being fulfilled. Promised love. Now, we saw there this morning in verse number 5 and 6 that the Lord loves us when He disciplines us. He does what He does from a heart of love. And we as parents should do what we do from a heart of love. Not because we're angry. Again, not because we want to do anything else other than fulfill love to that child. And if we're not doing it for that reason, we need to stop as parents, get our hearts right, get our attitudes right, make sure that our purpose is right, and then proceed. But here we see the first purpose is that promised love may be fulfilled. Number two, notice down in verse number 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" The second purpose of discipline is that there may be a prolonging of life. Remember the illustration I gave you this morning of the little boy that was in the dressing room with his mother? And the mother was asking him, "All right, you tell me what happens to little boys that are disobedient." And after enough of questioning, "You tell me what happens to little boys that are disobedient," the little quivering answer comes back, "They don't live long and they're not happy." Remember that this morning? Well, that is a true principle of Scripture. You know, you dishonor your parents, you disobey your parents, and you cannot have fulfilled in your life, Ephesians 6, where it tells you the result is what? It's the first commandment with promise, that you may, what? That your days may be long on the earth. Obeying and honoring your parents has a lot to do with prolonging of life. It says right there in that verse, "and live." Now, what does that imply? It implies that if we do not give subjection, if we do not give submission to the Father of spirits, which is referring to the God of heaven, if we do not give Him obedience and submission, we might not live long. Isn't that what it says? Life and live? Is that not the implication? Well, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 30 and point out there to us all that when we do not obey the Lord and we do not serve the Lord with the right heart attitude, many of us may sleep early. Implication there that sleep is referring to death. We could also point out in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 16 that there is a sin unto death. And when we fail to respond to the instruction and the teaching and the whipping when necessary from the Lord as His children, when we fail to obey Him and give heed to that, He can take us out anytime He wants to, and He's justified in doing so. It would not make Him any more holy than what He is for Him to take any of us home to be with Him at any point in time He wants to. But a lot of times, we think that we're going to live until a ripe old age, not realizing that a part of discipline is to prolong life. See, a part of discipline is to make sure that He gets us to a place where we're right with Him. And through that then, by obeying His Word, by doing things what the Word of God says, a natural result of obedience to the Word of God is longer life than people that disobey it. How many people tonight do you think will be killed because they're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing? Many of them will. Why? And if they were obeying biblical principle, they wouldn't be in that place and they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Therefore, obeying biblical principle extends life. And the purpose, another purpose of discipline is the prolonging of life. Look back, please, to verse number 10. "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit." Third reason for discipline is not only promised love fulfilled and not only the prolonging of life, but number three, for personal profit. The word prophet here means to be advantageous, to mean beneficial, to mean useful. It literally means to bring together. And the idea is that it's brought together for good. There have been many young people that have gone through the proper kind of discipline. At some point in time, it just sort of all comes together for them. And they say, hey, I need to be doing this. And it's like their life turns around overnight. Well, it didn't take place overnight. It took a lot of talking. It took a lot of instruction. It took a lot of discipline. It took a lot of parental love and love from other people to help point them and direct them in the right way that they should go. And we see it was for their profit. Now notice, this verse doesn't say for the profit of the parent. Now I'll get to that shortly. But here it's talking about the profit, the benefit, the usefulness, the advantageousness of the person in which has been disciplined and has been disciplined for the proper reason, for the profit of that individual. Next, another purpose. Notice, please, the last part, that. And this that here has a connection with the prophet, showing the profitableness, the way in which it's profitable, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The fourth purpose of discipline is that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, hold your place here and go with me over to Proverbs, please. And let's look at a couple of verses. We'll begin first in chapter 23. Chapter 23. And notice verse number 13. It says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, one thing for sure, these two verses are not teaching that a good whipping brings salvation. It's not teaching that. But what it is teaching, I believe, is that the proper kind of discipline will show the child his thoughts, will develop in the child the proper thoughts about God, about God's person, God's nature, the right views about discipline, the right views of that teach him right and teach him wrong, that shows him his accountability to God, shows him that he's a sinner, shows him that he can't pay for his sin, and shows him a Savior that has paid for his sin. And that, through that process of discipline, the right teaching and instruction, will bring him to the place where he realizes he needs a Savior. That's what that passage of Scripture is teaching. But that's a part of the partakers of holiness, is that discipline would bring about into the life of a young person where he would see that and make the choices that would lead him to have a holy character, a holy life. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to let him make that decision. I'll just raise my kid and let him make the decisions about spiritual things, and you'll raise a kid to be a rebel. You'll raise a kid to be an infidel. You'll raise a kid to be a person that goes out and does only what he wants to do when he wants to do it if you don't give any discipline to your children. And you'll get the opportunity probably to visit him in jail someday. Or you'll stand beside an early grave someday if you don't give your child discipline. But a fourth reason for discipline is that may be partakers of God's holiness, of his holiness, of the Father's Spirit's holiness. And by the way, that's the only kind of holiness that is holiness. Number five, look please in verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. A fifth reason for discipline is that pain brings learning. Pain brings learning. Now, may I say to all of us, especially you parents with young children, this is of vital importance when your children are young. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about teenagers, although sometimes it seems like that's the only way that they learn too, is with some pain. Now, you know that throughout creation, that pain is a part of growth, don't we? Now, why has God created it that way? I have no idea, but he has. Now, I know some of the pain that's involved in life is simply a result of a fallen nature of man. The pain of childbirth is a result of the fall of man. But nonetheless, with that pain comes great joy. Right? For a man-child is born into the world. Great. That pain of childbirth brings joy. You know, you say, well, how does the pain of falling down and skinning your knee help you any? Well, it helps you to be more careful. It's a valuable lesson to learn, right? You hit your finger with a hammer. It's a very valuable lesson. Why? Helps you to be more careful. I never will forget one time when I was teaching shop, I was giving a demonstration to the kids on how to use a hammer, and I was telling them, now, don't do this. And as I was telling them, don't do that, I said, if you do this, you're going to hit your finger. About that time, I hit my finger. And there was no way I was going to let them know I'd hit my finger. I mean, it was real quick in the process of what I was doing, so I just tucked that finger back underneath my hand and just kept working. But in the process of me just kept doing that, every now and then a little drop of blood would just land on the table. But, you know, I never let on. As soon as the class was over, I went over, because I had hit that finger and exploded the whole end of my little finger, this finger right here, completely off the end of my finger. That's how good I hit it. Now, what did that do? It helped me not to do that again. That happened about the second year I was teaching. 9 years later, I had never done that illustration again. It was a very good teaching tool. Listen, pain brings learning. It helps us to pay attention when nothing else will get our attention sometimes. I remember even as a young boy, my dad telling me, I'm going to give you something to help you remember. And it worked. The pain that he gave me brought learning to me. A hillbilly way, you know. I learned what not to do. I learned when to do it. I learned why not to do it or whatever through the pain that was brought in discipline. Tell you what, you try to raise small kids without pain and you'll teach them absolutely nothing for the first 5 years of their life. You cannot reason with small kids. It aggravates me when I see parents now, hon, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, the kid understood none of that reasoning. Now, when they get about 7, you can start reasoning with them. But before that, there's going to be very little reasoning. You say, Ash Kent, you do not know how smart my child is. I know one thing, they're smarter than we are a lot of the times. And they can twist and turn, and they use their little psychology on us. The next thing you know, they're getting no pain whatsoever. And therefore, they're getting very little learning. And therefore, they continue on in their little rebellious ways. But pain brings learning. Now, the pain, as I pointed out this morning, should be administered the right way. And we'll deal with that a little bit more tonight. But pain brings, as this passage says it's grievous. And if it's grievous, it's not enjoyable. If it's grievous, it's not something that you want to go through again. Right? You know, boys are a little different than girls. Right? And raising boys. A girl, you can give her a good spanking, and most of the time she learns pretty readily. Unless she's your second daughter, and then they don't learn as quick as the first one or the third one does. They're just a little more hard-headed for some reason. The second daughter tends to be that way. They tend to take the characteristics more of most boys, which are hard-headed and have to be whipped at least 2 or 3 times for it to soak in. So most of you, if you have boys, you just chalk it up. You're going to have to give them about 2 or 3 spankings to one of a daughter. If you have a second daughter, you have to give her 2 or 3 of what you have to give some the other ones. But I say that tongue-in-cheek. I know there's some hard-headed. I know some hard-headed first daughters, but I won't mention any names. But pain brings learning. Pain brings learning. Number 6, back to this passage of Scripture. Not only do we see that chastening for the present does not seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So the 6th reason for discipline is that it produces righteousness. It produces righteousness. You say, well, how that's different than partakers of holiness? Well, apparently it is a little different because it's 2 separate things. But as I mentioned, partakers of his holiness, number 1, holiness, I apply that towards salvation. The peaceable fruits of righteousness is part of our sanctification. It's the things that takes place after salvation. Now, hold your place here and go with me to the book of Proverbs, and let's look at a number of verses. By the way, a lot of verses in Proverbs that we're going to look at more than once. I think more than once would allow some of these things to soak in a little deeper. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." If you're driving foolishness out, that would tell me that it should be being replaced with some righteousness. Notice chapter 20 and verse number 30. Chapter 20 and verse number 30. It says, "The blueness of a womb cleanses away evil. So the stripes, the inward parts of the belly." You know, there's some places you read that verse and say you practice, you'd get locked up. Your children would be taken away from you. Right? Yeah, we'll deal with that more as we go through here. But what is this saying? It's saying proper discipline will take away evil, will cleanse from evil. If it cleanses from evil, then therefore there should be some righteousness being replaced. Turn over to chapter number 10, Proverbs chapter 10, and notice verse number 13. "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11, that when he was a child, of course, he dealt with childish things. When he became a man, he put away childish things. As we as parents direct and discipline our kids, we should cause something to be taking place in their life. And what is that? It should be that we remove foolishness, remove wickedness, remove evil. We put away, and we cause them to put away childish things. Not that we force them to put away childish things, but we bring them into a right thinking where they choose to put away childish things and start putting into their life adult, mature things. That should be what takes place. Now, back in this passage, it said, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And that word is quite interesting, "are exercised." Now, that word comes from a word that if I transliterated it, it would literally mean gymnastics. Now, that word in its original means to undergo a strict, rigid training program. It's this type of strict training program that athletes right now are doing to compete in the upcoming Olympic Games in Beijing. It is the same process that the football players of New York Giants went through in order to win the Super Bowl. It's the same process that basketball players are right now going through getting ready to play in March Madness and the upcoming NBA and the different things like that. This is a process that most of us would not even attempt to scratch the surface of. That's the reason why most of us in this room wouldn't even call ourselves weekend warriors. Right? Why? Because we don't have the discipline of body and mind to put ourselves through that type of gymnastic, strict, rigid regimen of training. But this is the word that is used here for those that are going to have developed within their lives this peaceable fruit of righteousness. And parents, that's our responsibility to do to our kids. We're to put them through this rigorous training. You say, "Well, I don't want to be hard on my kids." We'll raise one that will not ever perform, one that will never do much for God. The one that will be raised to be a draw upon society instead of a benefit for society. I said this a couple of months ago in another message. If we come into this world and we take more out than we put in, we're robbing God and man. We should seek to put more in. And by the way, the only way that's going to take place in our kids, basically, is for us parents to teach the kind of self-discipline that they are always serving and doing good for other people, not looking around waiting for somebody to do something good for them. Don't raise a bunch of give-me kids. And the only way you're going to raise a bunch of give-me kids is don't cater to them all the time. Make them earn some things. Make them work for some things. At the same time, we'll talk about praise and that type of things later, but another purpose of discipline is to produce righteousness in their life. Another. And then we'll move on to another aspect tonight. And go back to the book of Proverbs, because this is where I see this principle. Find your place in chapter number 10. We'll do a little running reading, and then I'll give you this final point of purpose of discipline. I'm sure you could come up with some more, and I actually probably, before I finish, will give you some others. But in Proverbs chapter 10, notice verse number 1. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Notice chapter 17, please, and verse 25. 17:25. It says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him. Chapter 19, please, verse number 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are as a continual dropping. And notice how there's a comparison there between the two, a foolish son and a contentious wife. But anyway, notice verse number 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that calls a shame and bringeth reproach. Notice chapter 29, please. 29. And notice verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse number 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And one last that I overlooked in our, and that's chapter 23, verse number 15 says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. My heart shall rejoice, even mine. The last purpose that I want to give you for discipline tonight is that it is for the peace of sanity. Peace of sanity to the child and to the parent. Now, all the verses that I read in this section dealt with how the child's behavior affects the parent. I've talked to a number of young people that said this to me. I didn't understand the grief I was to my parents until I had children. And I can almost guarantee you, if you've been a total grief to your parents, it will come knocking on your door again. It has a way of visiting you again in a different way when you're a grief to your parents. You're going to wake up one morning and you're going to think, my child is doing to me exactly what I did to my father, my mother. But it is a sweet thing. It is a sweet thing to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and have peace and be able to go to sleep because you know where your children are and you know what they're doing. You know they're not giving you any grief. I can remember as a young teenage boy laying in my bed hearing my mother cry herself to sleep because she had no idea where her daughters were. No idea. For over a year, we had no idea where my youngest sister was at. Many nights, they did not know where my older sister was at. The first memory I have of my oldest sister is her and my dad getting in a fuss and her leaving and saying, I'll never be back. And seeing my mama sitting on the couch crying because of that. I'm telling you tonight, that the purpose of discipline is so you have peace of sanity, where you can rejoice in God's goodness because your children are walking in truth. That's a great blessing. And here, proper discipline will result in that. Improper discipline, they may be given discipline. I'm going to knock some sense in that young. I'm going to knock him into next week. I've heard all kinds of statements made like that. All that does is bring about rebellion. It brings about thoughts in the child's life. I can remember more than once my dad slapping me in the face. Oh, did it hurt? Yeah. Was I crying? Yes. Was I humiliated? Yes. But at the same time, my little heart was thinking, I'll show him someday. I'll show him someday. As I said a couple of weeks ago, thank God for salvation. Thank God for His grace that changes all of that process, that kept me from doing many things that my heart had devised to do and put me on a different road of direction. But there's nothing much. I mean, if none of these other purposes of discipline were here, the peace of sanity would be worth proper discipline. taking the steps to make sure that we discipline our kids properly, the peace of sanity is worth that. And I challenge each one of you parents tonight and each one of you young people that are going to be parents before you know it. Determine right now in your heart that you're going to be the proper parent. That you're going to discipline your kid so that the promised love of the Father can be fulfilled in their life. So you can help them have a long, prosperous life. So they can have personal profit. So they can be partakers of the holiness of God. So that you can produce in your life righteousness. So the pain of learning will be done properly. Aren't you glad that pain, listen, with our modern medicine, aren't you glad that pain can be controlled? Aren't you? Oh, yeah, I appreciate pain being controlled. But listen, in proper parenting, pain is controlled. It doesn't get out of control. I've talked to too many situations in homes where the pain, the whipping, or whatever you want to call it, gets out of control, and then what happens? Just what I was describing about what my little heart wanted to do as a youngster, being bitter and angry at a father. That's when pain gets out of control. No, pain when it's dealt properly, you know, is there going to be any pain on the part of the kid? Yes. Is there going to be pain on the part of the parent? Yes. You know, all of us have heard this statement. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. How many have ever heard your parent make a statement like that? Yeah. All of us that are parents know that it was a grief of heart to whip our kids. I have never enjoyed giving one of my girls a whipping. Not one time did I enjoy it. They probably thought I did. But not if they would think back, they cannot remember me ever giving them a spanking and say, this is a load of fun. You know, wah, wah. You know, not one time can they remember me doing that. Why? Because it's not fun to whip your kid. Even when you're doing it right, it's not fun to whip your kid. Do you think God takes joy in having to discipline us? No, but there's a pain there. But what I'm trying to say is when we do it right, the pain is controlled. It's controlled for us as a parent because we control our emotions, as I dealt with this morning some. But at the same time, it's controlled in the life of our kids. It's only going to extend so far. And, you know, I told my girls most of the time when they were going to get a paddling, you're going to get X number of licks. I told them usually. Now, their mother didn't do that, but I did. They didn't know when their mother was going to get through. And there's a few times they didn't know when I was going to get through. But I usually told them, all right, you're going to get 3 licks, you're going to get 5 licks, you're going to get, you know, ever how many. So they had a good idea how long they had to endure the pain. And when they got through, they could cry. They just couldn't scream. You know, there's a difference between screaming and crying. And as a parent, I could tell Rich real quick if they were screaming or if they were crying. And if they were screaming, I told them, I said, if you're going to scream, I'm going to give you something to scream for. Or you can cry normally. But the pain was controlled is what I'm saying. It was in an environment where they knew that there was somebody doing it to them that loved them. Don't ever let your pain of teaching get out of hand. That's why God made adults to be parents and not kids to be parents. Because we're supposed to be able to control our anger. We're supposed to be able to control our emotions. So the environment of learning, the pain that is necessary to teach them is controlled because we are controlled. And the only way that you can be controlled and the only way I can be controlled is to be full of the Spirit of God. It's the only way. You got to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God every day. So if discipline has to be meted out to your children, you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God, and then things are under control. Next week, I'm going to look at what I call the practice of discipline. Get down to more of the nuts and bolts of the process. I've had people, listen, this is a surprise to me. I've had people tell me, Pastor Kemp, I have absolutely no idea how to spank. I've had a number of people tell me this. Pastor Camp, we have never been spanked in our life. And it was after they talked to me about it, I believed it because of the lack of discipline in their lives and the lack of discipline in their children's life. But I want you to know how. I want you to know how to take care of the practice and do it properly so things would be done right. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to whip us properly, how to bring us to the place of repentance. You know, it doesn't and it shouldn't take pain as Christians. It shouldn't take the pain of the Lord punishing us to bring us to repentance. All we should do is stop and think, as the song was sung tonight, about our sweet Redeemer. And when you start thinking about all that He's done, all that He is doing, Romans 2:4 tells us, know you not that the goodness of God should lead us to repentance, should bring us to a change. And of course, sometimes that's good for children to do, to think, and especially look at the parents that you have and try not to just look at all the bad things that they do or have done, but try to pick out the things, the good things that they do and that they are trying to do. And through that, it may motivate us to be better children.